from days of long ago, from uncharted regions of the universe, comes a legend. The legend of Voltron, defender of the universe, a mighty robot, loved by good, feared by evil.
Activate interlock. Dino therms connected. Infracells up. Mega thrusters are go.
All right, it's Razzle Dazzle time.
If you're listening to this, this means that it is time for Razzle Dazzle's last themed podcast episode. And we're doing it on Voltron. Voltron, the legendary defender, and maybe even Voltron 1984, defender of the universe. I know I'm going to be talking about that for a bit, but I'm sure the main focus is going to be on legendary defender. Why Voltron as the last themed episode for the show? It's because I based off this show when creating it, when its conception, that Voltron is a big... Oh man, I'm getting flustered because this is a real moment for me. I based this show on Voltron during its conception because I've had a really close group of friends before I even came to this school in FGCU. And we would have this show to share amongst each other because, like, this show came out, what, 2014 or something, 2016?
Yeah, maybe
2017 or 2016.
Around there.
No. 2019 is when it came.
Oh, yeah.
2016, June 10th. Word. That's when it came out. And that's, in high school, I first discovered this show thanks to my parents showing, like, seeing it's on Netflix. And they're like, oh, we grew up with Voltron, the 1984 series. Let us show you the coolness of Voltron. Watched the first hour-long episode, which was insane, but I understand why. Instantly fell in love with it. And this is coming from someone who also loves Transformers. Of course, there's a lot of, similarities with transforming mechanical robots or whatever. Not only that, Voltron, Defender of the Universe, came out a week before Transformers originally in the 80s. Mm-hmm. So that's also cool. The narrator for the original show is Peter Cullen, Optimus Prime. So that's, there's a lot of layers right there already. So yeah, I instantly fell in love with it. And as the years went by, more seasons came out. And, the more I fell in love with it, I absolutely love the show. This is probably my favorite show of all time. When I got into college back in Miami, I somehow met this group of people. We got in really close to each other, and I introduced Voltron to them, and they also loved the show. Of course, not nearly as much as I do, but they watched the entire show for me so we can have another thing to bond over. And while watching the show, I'm pretty sure they were in season 4 or something, and we kept talking about how each paladin will remind us of each other. We would have that whole thing going for us, and it was season 4, episode 4 is where the birth of the name of this show, the namesake, came from. Lance, then it's Razzle Dazzle time, and that moment, a friend said, "This is so you," directed towards me, and I'm like, "I love that. Let's just name our group chat Razzle Dazzle," and that's been like that ever since. So I'm pretty sure I've said this before in some anniversary episodes that once coming here, all of us disbanded, because we all have our own lives, and I wanted to create this show to have another group of friends to talk about the things we love, talk about the things that we care about. And that happens to be a lot of things: pop culture, video games, movies, TV shows, comics, whatever. And unknowingly to me at the time, you guys here, the people I'm sitting with, have become really close to me, have become an important part and vital part of my life and my identity. And I couldn't help but just constantly think about how, throughout the years, you, Patrick, or Green Lion, Red Lion Joe, Tatum Yellow, even though you did come last, but still, So, yeah, it's, I don't know where else to go from that other than just gush over it. the idea of how this show came to be with the identity of Voltron. Hell, it's even in the Madam Raz, in her design, there's the Voltron logo on her cloak or whatever, you know. It's in every part of the show, and I just love that the theme of Voltron is teamwork, people coming together from different places, from different identities, from, you know, very unique people coming together for one certain thing, and we're all experiencing this together. It's teamwork, friendship, all that type of stuff, and I found that with you guys. So thank you for being a part of this show, being a part of this ride, and let's just get into talking about Voltron. Where do we want to begin?
That was great. Yeah, I've known that, like, fun fact since we started this in 2020, that Voltron will be the last episode, or the last themed episode, because Delta's won a thing yet. I just never really pressed into why, because, and I don't think you would have told me. And I think it's less to do with, like, Voltron as a series has an air of finality to it. It's just the personal connections.
It's definitely the personal connection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I never knew the origin of the show's name. I was just like, oh, Razzle Dazzle. Cool. Yeah, and right. I never questioned it. I was just like, oh, yeah.
It was also just a common saying. Razzle Dazzle. Yeah. Lance just said it that one episode for no reason.
Yeah. I mean, that's just who he is. You know, that's part of the fun, you know? And I'm sure you guys noticed that I kept sending, whenever Razzle Dazzle was said in Voltron, I kept sending you a video of it.
Every time he said the thing.
And I do that every time, like, Razzle Dazzle is said, like, anything, you know. In She-Ra, there's Madam Raz, you know, she says Razzle Dazzle a lot. Every time I watch that show and they say that, I'm like, they said it. So yeah, I'll explain why I signed you guys these lines. Okay, so Patrick, you are the Green Lion because, again, I gotta make this clear. I'm not basing this at all from, like, your Pidge, your Lance, your Keith. That doesn't matter, okay? This is all based on how you guys are with each other, our dynamics together as friends and as a show, okay?
Sure.
So, for me, I'm the Black Lion because, obviously, this,
you're,
you know,
emo.
I started this.
Yeah,
I'm emo.
You're actually a clone.
Yeah, I'm a clone. This is not actually me. I feel like we did that bit once with someone. I don't know. Patrick, you are the Green Lion because you are the resident, you know, air quotes, tech person. Whenever we have a conversation about, like, how can we make this possible in a technological sense, you and I always have that conversation, right?
Fair.
Also, I'm a lefty, so therefore you're my left-hand man. Instead of being a right-hand man, you are my go-to left-hand wingman.
I'll take it.
That was really cute.
Joe, you're the Red Lion, and I know red is your favorite color, and I'm glad you like that. But I also think that you like to think that you are also a lone wolf, in a sense, right? And yeah.
I mean, okay. I disagree, but go on.
Why do you disagree?
I think I'm more like Lance. After seeing the show, finally, before I saw the show, I'd be like, hell yeah, red, fire, I'm angry, I would love red. But seeing the show, my boy Lance just got it. He's the man. He's got that dog in him. He's so funny.
Bro,
but I'd rather be Lance.
Well, like I
said.
And
he's Finn.
Like I said, it has nothing to do with these characters. It's how I perceive you and how I think our configuration, our paradigm works, and you definitely have the qualities of the Red Lion in those terms. You are nothing like Lance.
Word.
Moving on. Tatum?
But also, Lance uses the Red Lion. So
oh, that's true. I forgot.
You're so silly.
But also, you're nothing like Lance. Tatum, you are the Yellow Lion because I think you bring everyone closer together. So you are a leg. You also support the show in your own unique way. You bring a certain amount of energy and refreshness to the show that you know, we couldn't get from anybody else. So, you know, in a lot of parts, you are the heart of the show. So that's why you are the Yellow Lion. The Blue Lion.
Also, I guess.
She's blonde.
That works too. The one thing that I've noticed in the show consistently is that the yellow one's the worst at flying. Like, constantly crashes into things. And I'm not saying.
Are you dogging on my driving right now? Is this what's happening?
I'm not saying that.
Your silence speaks volumes.
I did not assign you yellow.
But if you were to assign it, you would assign it to me because I suck at driving.
Listen, are you saying I'm wrong?
Yes, I am. you've ridden in my car and you're alive, so I think that counts for something.
I didn't mean it as a driving dig. I actually really didn't even mean it as a dig at all. I just thought I'd point it out because it's the yellow lion, and that's a thing with the yellow lion.
Honestly, I probably would be pretty terrible at flying if we're being real.
The blue lion, there's only four of us here, but it would be Patience. She's not here because of, you know, reasons. But I also think that she's a big pillar of the show. She has a big heart. She's like the most, I don't want to say the most friendly, because that's not saying anybody else is less friendly, but like she has a big heart. She's very kind and she has supported us through a lot, and we also support her. So
that's... And she has crazy ice powers.
And she has crazy ice powers.
But of course.
For real.
On
God.
But yeah, I mean, this is how I see everybody in terms of the show. And who wants to take the reins first?
I guess I'll dive into it because I had a lot of fun with the show. First time I watched it, watched through the whole thing in like the matter of like a month. And it was a solid show. Like it reminded me, it was a great homage to what the show was before, while not falling into all the same faults that the show before had. Keeping it interesting comparatively to the cookie cutter. It still kept that cookie cutter formula that the old show had, but it like brought new twists and didn't keep this sort of Monster of the Week style that Voltron had, but rather kept this like overarching plot that even if they didn't explore that overarching plot, the episodes would still be somehow related to, even if it was just a filler with a few exceptions. But yeah, so like that combined with the fact that like the show being more modern, having a higher budget probably allowed for some just great action sequences, and you get a mix of like action sequences when it comes to like just like shooting or like shooter action or like fist fight slash melee fighting action and like mecha fighting action and like fighter plane action. So you get like this cool blend of like a bunch of different forms of action in various points of the show, which keeps it kind of like diverse. And every episode kind of, especially towards the later seasons, will explore each of these throughout the plot, because eventually the lines will disband and then form together, and then they have to leave their mechs. So you get to see these sort of interactions in these forms of action throughout the entire show, throughout every episode.
Mm-hmm. No, that's a great point. Yeah, I love, for an 80s cartoon show, Monster of the Week is very expected. You know, it's to sell toys and all that stuff. You know, I have actually the original 1981 lions, all five of them, and that's when it's called Go Lion, right? But yeah, the 1984 show being a Monster of the Week thing, yeah, it's cool, you know, and all. Like, we still get Robeast in Legendary Defender, but they're not the main thing that's focused on. We get, like, what, a total of five, maybe six different kinds of Robeast that are not, like, the main antagonist or something, you know? That being just, like, a good progression marker, I guess, like a skill check for the paladins throughout the seasons is wonderful, and I like that. It's, you know, it Legendary Defender focuses more on the characters' sense of, you know, who is Voltron. Voltron are the paladins, and who are these paladins, and we get to dive into that. It's more about characters, more about their connections with each other, and not just the robot itself.
But also the characters are the ones that drive the plot, rather than the villain does something and then the team together needs to do a thing, and then the villain does something, the team together needs to do a thing. It's the story expands as each character is explored further. You get moments where Keith goes off and does a thing, and then the team needs to adjust, and suddenly you have a new somebody else piloting a lion that wasn't originally piloting a lion. It goes away from the formula at times to be able to explore characters. Mm-hmm. Even with like Pidge is also a great example of a lot of moments in the show where they just dedicate a moment to give Pidge the highlight, to give her like the ability to explore part of her story, because her story with her dad and her brother are an integral part to what the show sets up in that first episode. So it gives that time every now and then to just give the spotlight to Pidge and have her take over the story. And we get that with Keith a lot as well. We get a little bit with Lance, Hunk, and Shiro, but them less so, them more serving as, again, characters to move the plot through other characters. Shiro with the whole clone thing
ends
up being more of a Keith thing than a Shiro
Keith
thing.
Keith and Shiro.
Yeah. But it's to, again, serve Keith's character to have that moment with Shiro in that sort of weird clone scene way.
Yeah, I mean, technically, Shiro isn't really a character in the original show. I mean, look, first it's Fen, and then he has a twin brother named Ryu Shirogane or whatever. Twin brother clone, I mean, it's kind of there, but that's one thing I also love about how they use the original content is in the original show, base characters, this is what is loose to. They're very one-dimensional, you know, in Legendary Defender, fleshed out, three-dimensional. Paige is the perfect example, and I'm so glad you brought her up. She's a her, not a him. We're led to believe. She pulled a Mulan, right? Yeah. Her biggest drive in the beginning of the show is to find her family, whereas, you know, the original show is just like, it's a kid with a man voice, kind of. It's weird. It's not, doesn't matter. But no, I like what you're saying. It definitely fleshes out the characters. The characters are the integral part. And yeah, without these characters being as lovable and as relatable and as interesting as they are, the show wouldn't work.
Yeah. Even like some of the villains, you still end up having be interesting characters. And by some, I really just talk about Lotor. Lotor is a great dude. Carries the season's in.
For originally being just like, I want to marry Princess Alora, to this? Man, what a big jump.
Born to a violent empire, deciding, learning from an early age that that's not the way he wanted to go about it, to having aspirations to learn about his mother's side of his life because his father's repressed that from him, to learning about how great that civilization was and wanting to restore peace that this civilization brought, to getting obsessed with Quintessence because of that and slowly corrupting himself in the same way that his father did. Even having that sort, and then like ending in sort of the same way his father did, and just like that pursuit of Quintessence is what kind of pushed him away from everyone, made him an enemy of everyone, and then killed him. It's so good. It's so good.
So many layers there. It's all great. But before we move on to that, let's pass the mics to Tatum, then Joe. Because Tatum, you've only watched up until season one, right?
Yeah. Okay. I watched the entire first season. I really enjoyed it because I played it more so not in the background, but I was doing other stuff while I was watching it. And I found myself like, usually when I do that, like, sometimes my attention just gets, like, shifted away. But I found myself being like, wait, what'd they say? And I would rewind it, and I would, like, watch it back. And I was like, oh, because a few years ago, I watched Avatar: The Last Airbender, and I loved it. I love the quick-witted humor. I like how they dove into the characters. And fun, I've been struggling.
Fun tidbit. The same makers of Avatar and Korra made the show.
I figured, because I found so many similarities. And I was like, huh, I like this show. Like, I don't know. I really enjoyed it. From that aspect, I like the humor a lot. I've just been struggling to find a show that I liked as much as Avatar: The Last Airbender, so I'm happy I did find it. I did like a lot how, obviously I haven't seen the rest of the show yet, but how Patrick, you said, like, them diving into the characters, like, there's little tiny things where, like, they can explore it. It doesn't seem like most shows where they drop a tidbit about a character and then they just wrap it up and it's never touched again.
Right.
And I don't like that. I'm like, I want to see more. Like, I don't want it to just be like, storyline end, storyline end, storyline end. Like, no, it should be a continuous kind of like flowing thing. Mm-hmm. And I really like that they did that.
Yeah, even with Hidge, because I'm kind of using her as the example multiple times, her whole setup thing is, I lost my father, I lost my brother, and I want to find them. I want to find out what really happened to them. She finds her brother, and then she finds her father. But that's not where her story with them ends. There's still various episodes that continue to explore that relationship between all of them, which, like you said, it's not just like, they're found, tidy up box, push it on, time to move on to what's Pidge's next thing. It's like, no, Pidge's story is about her and her family.
And I was, I have a bad habit of whenever I see something happening in a show, my brain doesn't just let it happen. I start guessing what could happen, and then I'm disappointed because I know what happened. And I found myself, there were moments where I was caught off guard or like I didn't expect something. And I was like, I liked that. Like being able to not guess what's happening and having that be from honestly a cartoon was really, really nice. It made me feel like a kid again. Like, I don't know. I really, really liked it. And I do see myself watching it past just the first season and continuing to watch it.
I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah.
Joe?
We're going to spoil the hell out of it, though.
Yeah.
You're good.
I'm a Power Rangers baby. I grew up on Power Rangers.
Oh, yeah.
And when the show first came out, I was like, I'm too old for that. I'm 13. I'm edgy now.
I'm 13.
I'm past that.
Yeah, my voice was still the same.
Yeah.
I was like, you know what? I'm just going to miss out on it. But then you told me to watch a show, and I really liked it. Mm-hmm. If I watched it then, I would have really gotten into it because it does what Power Rangers can't. Through its medium of being animated to just really explore different locations.
Right.
You know, in Power Rangers, all you go to is the bay, the beach, the city. That's just a bunch of toys.
Yeah.
And it also does what Power Rangers doesn't, in that it explores the characters. You know, you might get a Billy episode every, like, once in every four episodes, maybe. You might get a, heaven forbid, you get a Zack or a Trini episode. But these are perfectly balanced, except for Hunk. I wish... Honestly, Hunk could have gotten more screen time.
Yeah, that's my biggest critique with the entire show, is that Hunk is just kind of like a character on the side. Like, he's a great character.
Yeah, I love him.
And he's explored a good amount, but like, compared to everybody else, Hunk is just kind of like a background guy.
Honestly, Hunk, there's a certain episode in season 7 where, you know, they're on their galactic road trip, and Hunk was like making breakfast for everybody. I think that scene kind of like... spark something in me to want to know how to cook more, how to cook better, and just get better with culinary stuff.
Hunk is a great character to push kids to cook.
Yeah, right?
Real.
The dude like in the later seasons is just like chef magnifique.
Yeah.
In the very, very last episode when like Voltron's done doing his thing, he is the diplomat guy who serves people food. To like help bring peace to the world.
Yeah.
Like, it's a great little happy ending for him and just kind of like glorifying what cooking can do for people.
You're saying all of it. Yeah, the endings for every character is great, but we'll get to that.
Like Animal House.
Joe, what you said about the locations and how many different places they visit, that's one big step away from the original show where they they explained this in the show too. Karan was like, I'm sorry, Keith asked Karan, hey, why don't we go to Planet Doom to kick Zarkon's butt? And then Karan was like, well, we can't do that because Voltron is known as the defender of the universe, not the attacker of the universe. So to me, and I'm like, when I've seen the original series, right? So when I saw that, because I saw the original after watching Legendary, Defender, I saw that and I'm like, that is such a cop-out answer for just using the same assets over and over and over again. But yeah, for Legendary Defender, they go all over the galaxy. They go to different planets. We see so many different kind of aliens and creatures and locations. Visually, everything about this show is beautiful. I love like the art style. I love the background settings and stuff like that. The particle effects, how lasers look, like when things are shimmering and glittering, and
some of those action sequences as well. Just talk about the visuals of them. Like I mentioned Lotor because I specifically wanted to bring up his whole action side of things. The dude, like anytime Lotor is in a fight, I just like zone in and I'm like, oh, here he goes. Because like this dude pulls moves. He'll get like slammed across a room, slide across the floor. As he's sliding across the floor, he'll spin his legs to get the momentum to stand back up and then rush back forward. I'm like, oh, oh. Yeah. And then in another moment, the dude's like jumping through the air. Somebody tries to hit him in the air and he shifts his momentum to like dodge just barely and then land behind them and keep the fight going. I'm like, oh, man, gotta love that.
His
and then
fight he just against keeps Zarkon?
Doing stuff like that. Yes, dude. That episode is the best episode in the whole show.
I agree.
Blood Duel, Season 5, Episode 2.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Are we done with the positives? Because this is where the negatives begin.
You go for it.
Okay. Remember in the first, like, 2 minutes of Star Wars Episode 6, Return of the Jedi, when Darth Vader gets killed?
Yeah.
No! you kill off your main series in season 5 of 8, episode 2. I would have been engrossed in the fan base if I first watched it when it was coming out. And I'm glad it didn't, because as the show progressed, season 3, 4, and onwards, it became apparently obvious that the writers didn't have a plan.
I disagree.
Listen, Lotor's writing, he has some pretty cool scenes, but God damn, that fella is inconsistent.
Inconsistent?
If I beat you up in the schoolyard, right, and then we get called down to the principal's office, and I'm like, no, I was actually on your side the entire time.
Yeah,
no.
Lotor.
I mean, I think the show kind of sets that up, though. Like, the whole point is that he wants to bring peace, but he doesn't want to do it his dad's way. So he's fighting Voltron because Voltron's in the way. That's his whole reasoning for it, and the show kind of backs that up by the fact that, like, every single time he does come across Voltron, it's more like being in the same place at the wrong time than, like, actually, like, him being like, I'm gonna take down Voltron. I kind of get where you're coming from, though, because
he's still a bad guy. He's not that bad of a guy, but he's still a bad guy in season 3, and then season 4 through what, 6 before he dies, 7 before he dies,
6.
He flip-flops between.
Yeah, I think it's because the show purposely made us see Lotor as a villain as an intro, because that's what he's supposed to be. He is the son of Zarkon, right? The most evil tyrant that has conquered the universe in over 10,000 years, right? I think what the show did with making him seem like a villain first, slowly integrating it as if, oh, maybe he's actually not that bad. It's giving a lot of layers for Lotor and almost tricking the audience, us, oh, he is actually kind of okay. He's kind of cool. Maybe not like his methods, but then immediately, like, oh, once he gets the thing he wants, he doesn't care about anybody. I love the kind of going back and forth, because Lotor is in this weird gray area in between good and evil.
Nah, he's definitely evil.
He's definitely evil the entire time.
I think what he wants to do is good, but it's just how he does it.
The means is evil. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like he has good objectives, but the means to get there for him is evil.
Look at his
father.
And
that's what makes him kind of bounce between both sides. Because he's not Zarkon level. He doesn't want to just destroy the universe by exploiting all of its quintessence throughout the entire thing until he's gained all the power in the universe. No. He wants the universe to be a great place to live in. He has an aspiration to what the universe can be for everyone.
Well, sacrificing all Taeans, though.
But his means is the thing that makes him evil, that always makes people kind of hesitant to join him. One, he wants to work with the Galra and keep the Galra the way they are, as this glorious empire that exploits everybody. But at the same time, he's willing to let that go in order to bring in what Altea could bring to the world, rather than just completely eliminating all of their culture. At the same time, to preserve their culture, he's also literally harvesting them.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Not great.
It's like super evil. So it's not gray area. Dude's totally evil. I agree with you. But it's easy to understand why he's constantly side-shifting, because his goals align with one side while his means align with the other side.
I mean, he hasn't had a great role model in a father. So
or a mother.
Or a mother.
I just think he goes through a worse Zuko arc.
Sure. Okay.
I think to compare him to Zuko, though, is...
it's a bit much.
Because Zuko just wants to... if he was Zuko, then his whole thing would be capturing Voltron.
It would be.
I want to capture Voltron to make Zarkon happy. But that's not his thing.
To emphasize how manipulative and, air quote, charming he can be, him getting up close and personal with Allura is a great way
to make out!
They kiss. Yeah, they kiss.
Don't be unambiguous. Are we supposed to like this character or not? And I think they switch, the writers switch between seasons.
I think that's the goal, though.
I think they want you to like
They have
Lotor.
You in the palm
exactly.
of their hand, dude. That's the whole point, because then they can do whatever they want. Because then it's almost like your predisposition to think a certain way. If you're like, this character is a villain, you're most likely not going to like them. But it's like, they could be good or bad. It's like, do you root for them or do you not? I haven't seen the show, so I can't judge accurately, but I feel.
How much more impactful would it be for you to believe that, oh, he's actually okay, he's actually on the good side? Big punch. No, he's not.
I think it would be more impactful to do a Terra from Teen Titans thing or an Omni-Man thing from Invincible, where he's like, yeah, I'm pretending to be good, but when it's just him and the audience, we're like, yes, this is my evil plan. It's coming along swimmingly. Rather than just going, I'm a good guy now. Okay, next year, season 5 came out? No, I'm not.
But it wasn't that clear cut either. It's not just an automatic jump to, hey, everybody, I'm going to kill you all. It's when he got exposed to the quintessence field, that's when he started going crazy.
He hated his mom because she was addicted to Quintessa, the crystal meth of Voltron, and then he just did it himself. He just was like, my parents did this, they got addicted to it, I'm not going to do it, and I did it.
I mean, the shift to the fight, though, was partially the Quintessa, but it was more when they found out what he was doing.
Yeah.
When, like, his big old secret of, yeah, I'm building up an entire secret culture of your people just to harvest their quintessence.
Yeah.
When that was exposed, that's when everything flipped, and everyone was like, Lotor's actually a terrible human being, because they didn't know that about him. We didn't, as the audience, didn't know that about him until that moment.
Yeah.
And then once you find out about that,
it's a big shock.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it's supposed to be.
I, watching the show originally, big Lotor fan. Huge Lotor fan. I'm not trying to hide it at all.
Yeah.
If Lotor wasn't harvesting Altaians, he would be probably my favorite character, you know? But there is that sort of, like, the show builds up this aspect of, this guy wants to stop the Galra from being this terrible warmongering empire and bring them back to, like, a good civilization. And that's what they set him up as. And originally he's a villain just because he's still with the Galra, and Galra are enemies of Voltron. But then when that shifts, when the Galra kick out Lotor, then it's suddenly a lot more reasonable for him to be their ally. And so that starts happening. The only thing, again, that shifts is the secrets that he hides being exposed.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I think it's a good... I understand where you're coming from, but I think the way they did it is pretty good, because it's not... They're not shoving... they're not telling you, like, Lotor is a good guy, trust him. Or they're not telling
That's true.
Lotor is a bad guy, don't trust him. There's a lot of both constantly. Everyone's like, I want to trust Lotor, but he's with the Galra, and that makes me feel weird. A lot of characters express that constantly. While also this aspect of every time he's talking, I wanted to bring this up with the...
Go ahead.
If we ever talked about the music later on, I want to talk about Lotor's, like, track below him whenever he's talking builds him up to be a great leader. The music under him when he's talking about the amazing things the Galra could do if they work together, there's always this music of almost like a hopeful atmosphere of, like, this long synth on the bottom with, like, these harmonic tones. And then when anybody starts bashing him and he comes back with a response that's angry, it almost seems to, like, there's one moment where Shiro and
Keith?
No.
Those boys are
Laura are interrogating him in, like, one of those first season 5 episodes. Allura says something about how awful the Galra have been, and he claps back about something along, like, Altea wasn't great either.
Yeah.
And when he claps back about that, he's talking about the terrible things the Alteans have done or could have done. And there's this, like, sinister music that plays under it that, like, kind of implies there's something that we're missing here as an audience that these two know. Because Allura looks at him terrified, he's talking like this, and there's a sinister music playing under it. And so the music itself even lends to him his credence. So it gives, like, this back and forth. It's not telling you what to think about him, but it is kind of pushing you one way or the other.
Yeah, Joe. I mean, of course you're entitled to your opinion. You can feel the way you feel about it, but I think... The consensus between us.
I'm a Lotor fanboy. I know. I understand my bias. I love this character.
Lotor is great. I didn't know about Lotor until I watched the original show. So, like, season 1 and 2.
So you had the first show Lotor as the beginning.
I know. Yeah. So after finishing season 1 of Legendary Defender at the time, I went to watch the original stuff, and I watched, like, I'm pretty sure the majority of it, if not all. And I saw Lotor, and he's like an evil dude. He just wants to marry the princess, like Bowser or whatever. So at the end of season 2, when Hagar is like, contact Prince Lotor, I'm like, oh, I wonder how this is going to go. And as seasons 3 to 6 were unraveling, and I'm really glad that they're short seasons because they just go together, really. There's just one thing. Anyways, how they were dealing with Lotor's character with all those progressions, with all those changes on how we're supposed to feel about him, it did hit me really hard at the end of season 6 when he's just says, you know what? I'm just going to kill everybody who doesn't agree with me, and I'm just going to do what I got to do.
Yeah, that's the one place where I do agree with Joe, is that little last ending arc for him, where it's just like, I can understand he's broken, he's lost everything, and so he just kind of, like, freaks, but he betrays his, like, right-hand team.
Yeah.
He betrays, he starts talking some, like, crazy stuff about destroying all the Altaians, and, like, he starts, going on his, like,
and all the
super edgy, genocidal freak moment, and I'm like, now this doesn't make sense. Like, everything up to now was great. This last fight has this dude freaking in some way that I don't like. That's my one area where I'm like, yeah, I don't know if they could literally, like, fully justify his, like, insane, or like they just kind of made him insane, I guess.
Yeah,
it was like a flip of the switch.
And being
flip of the switch, yeah.
And being in the quintessence field definitely did that, because that's what happened to Zarkon and Hagar.
Yeah, so. I would have liked if it was like, maybe he was a little more, like, hesitant,
but
then he enters the quintessence field, and then
it's
he
like,
goes
nah,
crazy.
Genocide, let's go.
But he goes all, he starts making all these crazy threats when he starts fighting them.
But wasn't he hesitant to fight them to begin with?
When up until Allura was like, nah.
Yeah. Yeah. Up until Allura's like, you know what? I'm breaking up with you. Yeah.
Hello, and welcome to another exciting episode of the craziest game in the galaxy, Garfo Warfo Snick! And now, here's the host of Garfo Warfo Snick,
Patrick!
This game will be exploring the very Earth-like Family Feud style of minigame, where the winner will go on to try to win a secret game to win it all.
Okay.
Whoa.
Since this follows a Family Feud style, I will need one of you to sit out to judge who buzzes first. We don't have buzzers. This kind of makes it a little...
Just tap the table.
Have your hand on table, and first person put their hand on their head.
Word. So like noses.
Like that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Y'all is gonna smack the mic. It's gonna be like, whoppa!
All right, here we go. Our first category, most fan-arted Voltron character on Reddit.
Let's go.
Oh, no.
Let's go, I got it.
Oh, that's the question, or?
So you just, whatever. Okay, go ahead.
Lance and Keith.
Those are two characters.
That's one. So we'll go with your first answer of Lance.
Oh, okay.
For 20, Lance.
Is that number one?
So it is number 3 on the
Ooh.
List.
Ooh, so I see. Joey understand. Has a chance to guess and see if he can get
who
more.
Who has more fan art than Lance? I'm going to go with Keith.
For Keith.
What?
Keith is not in the top 5 for fan art.
Are you cereal?
I am cereal.
So cheers. Okay.
All right, so Jared, you have the opportunity to gather all the points in this category. Again, most fan-arted Voltron character.
Oh, Pidge.
Number 5, Pidge for 5 points.
Okay.
You can go again.
Allura.
Allura, 25 points.
Sexism.
2 characters left on the board.
Shiro.
Yeah. Shiro for 15 points. Last character.
Zarkon.
Dummy. Ooh. Lotor, bruh.
Oh.
You got 2 more tries.
Hot. Oh, I got 2. Okay, Lotor.
How is there more?
It's Family Feud, bro. Have you not watched Family Feud?
Have you not played or watched Family Feud, bro?
Yeah,
you
like
have it on
shit.
The Xbox!
His ass is not Steve Harvey.
For Lotor.
Wow. Oh. So we still don't know who number one is?
Still don't know who number one is.
Oh my god!
He has one more guess, right?
He has one more guess.
Hagar.
Ugh.
For Hagar. Alright, that brings you with the total of 65 points. But Joe could steal here potentially.
Oh, I forgot.
Joe, for all of the points, who is the most fan-arted Voltron character?
So this is number one?
This is number one.
Oh my goodness.
Oh my god.
Okay, let's just go over on the board. We got Lance.
Yes.
I said Keith. I was wrong for whatever reason. The most fan-arted.
On the board currently are Allura, Lance, Shiro, and Pidge in that order.
I'm gonna go with, let's go with Karan.
For Karan.
Yes!
Wow.
Whoa!
The people love Karan.
I love Karan.
Oh, yeah. People oh, love
he's
Karan.
So good.
Oh. I love the
Joe
fact.
Joe steals all 100 points of that category.
I love the fact that y'all's first guests were not girls.
Of course not.
I just think that it's hilarious because Allura was higher. Because
that's what we're
going to
talk about with the show's biggest sin.
Voltron is funny. Very queer friendly.
That's what Joey mentioned.
Oh, that's what he hates. Oh, so you're homophobic.
Oh, the show is homophobic. The show is homophobic.
What?
Okay.
Let's finish the game first.
All right. In our next category, we have highly rated cosplays, according to Reddit. So this is the top posts for each of the. They're like I went through the top posts of
the
subreddit
table, Joe.
And waited to find the top cosplays. So this goes from like most upvoted cosplay picture all the way down to the least. All right, here we go. Highly rated cosplays.
Oh my god! I think it was at the same time. I was watching.
Just pick someone at this point. You have one job,
bro, and it's difficult. Okay.
Okay, Jared again.
Rock, paper, scissors, baby. I'm going to go with Keith.
For Keith, 5 points.
Really?
Oh.
Okay.
So, okay, it's going to be Pidge.
For Pidge.
What?
Ooh.
This is... you.
What?
I'm sorry.
This Lance. This is insane. This is nonsense.
All right. For Lance on the board.
Wow. Whoa.
Okay, do I go again?
Yeah, go.
You got two more tries.
Voltron. Proper.
That makes sense. For Voltron.
Man.
That's a really good one, actually. I don't know why that would.
I mean,
why somebody wouldn't have done that.
Have you seen
it would be
the Goldbergs? No.
Well, that's very true.
No.
Have
you seen the Goldbergs? Adam Goldberg literally dresses up as Voltron. It's just
was
cardboard
it good?
Boxes. I mean, you know, for
okay,
cardboard
yeah,
boxes.
Okay, yeah, it was cardboard boxes.
You think
a good one is gonna be.
Nobody
you
said
think
anything
a
about
highly, highly rated.
Oh, highly rated. I would rate that highly.
But no one's gonna do it because it's difficult, bro.
Okay.
Allura.
Allura.
Yeah.
25 points.
Okay. Karan. It's not a hard cosplay.
Wow. Ooh. 30 points for Jared. Okay. Although Joe can steal here if he gets one of these correct.
So, most cosplayed characters.
Highly rated
cosplay.
Oh, so I would assume that meant the most realistic cosplay to do accurately.
It just means
whatever
good.
People,
it just means good.
Whatever people on
I don't
want to
say
Reddit
easy.
Would have upvoted the most.
Okay, so show me Shiro. Let's go! Wow.
Shiro in the top category for 35 points.
Wow.
Leaves Joe with... how many points did he steal?
All of them.
I stole
all of them. That was 30. Is that 130?
So he's now got 65 points again. So Joe's at 165
wow.
points.
Wow.
Technically, it's unwinnable, but I still have one more category here to go through. So we have top-rated Voltron seasons according to Rotten Tomatoes.
Ah, okay. That's easy.
Yeah. Jared, go
Season
ahead.
One got 100%.
Season one. In the second slot for 25.
With season two. Okay.
Season two for 35 points.
Now here's
Joe
where it gets
goes
tricky.
Into this one.
Now here's where it gets tricky. So, okay, season one and two spot, obviously. Now season three is when it started to depart from the formula of fighting Zarkon. But I still think the writers had it together by season three. So I'm going to go with season three, Steve.
Season three, is it on the board?
Oh.
20 points.
Why
third
is
category.
Joe playing?
What?
Didn't you get the second answer?
No. Season two was the first
highest
answer.
Was number
oh,
one.
Oh, okay.
He
I
said
was
season
like,
one, which was the second.
Gotcha.
All right. Still two spots on the board. The bottom two.
Bottom
of
two.
Of the top five seasons.
Okay. Season six.
Season six.
Oh, man.
You technically have no way to fail here right now, Joe.
So I was just curious as to which would be rated worse.
Of the top five.
I know, because that would rule out
so
three.
Then,
the worst three would rule out. I'm just trying to think. Season eight and seven are the worst. So I'm going to go with season 5, Steve.
Season 5.
Let's go.
That's my favorite season right there.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, season 5 with the 15 slot for 15 points.
Let's go.
And then the last answer still on the board, Joe.
Did I say season 4 yet?
You did not.
You did
I'm
not.
I'm going to go with season 4. It was 6.
You're at 2 wrongs.
Damn.
Did you say 6?
You already said 6.
Oh, whoops.
Bro, I was looking, 7 or 8.
I didn't know which would be considered higher.
Oh, true. He's got. So the last answer between 7 or 8 to bring all the points in, or Jared
which
to steal.
Which is better of the garbage? Season 7, Steve. Let's go.
Season 7.
Clean
for 5
sweep,
points.
Baby.
All right, Joe. Now we're into the last category here. This category kind of doesn't really work for audio format, but you know, I thought it'd be fun just to do anyway. This game to see if you win it all is called Who's in This Mech, where you just have to name one person or I guess yeah, just one person who would be in the mech of the picture I show you.
Interesting.
Okay.
All right, who's in this mech?
Just one person.
Just name any
Lance.
Person in this mech. That's
Lance
correct.
Is in that mech.
This is the
it's,
Voltron
he's just showing
mech.
His Voltron. Okay.
All right, who's in this mech?
Oh, that is... Oh, boy, that's the, like... I know Allura makes it, right? Oh, no, isn't that the human thing that the people make?
You're losing time, bro.
Allura.
Is it the Atlas?
This is the Atlas. You might find Allura in it when it's the actual ship, but when it's transformed as the mech, you're looking at Shiro, Kuran, that one general dude that I never remember
Iverson.
The name of. Iverson, thank you.
Sam.
Yeah, all of them.
Basically the entire human.
Yeah, just
collected garrison.
Earth people
all
and Kuran.
The boring characters.
All of them.
And Kuran. All right, next up, who's in this mech?
Is that Xandar's guy?
Xandar.
What's his name? Zarkon. That's
like
Zarkon's thing.
Is that Xandar?
I don't remember Zarkon having a tail.
That's Lotor's
mech
right there.
I should have known the anime boy would have a tail.
All right, you've already lost it all, but I'm having fun with this. Who's in this mech?
So that's Zarkon's, because he looks like a Dark Angel.
That is Zarkon's mech. There you go. Who's in this mech?
Oh boy, is that a Sendak? No. Take that back. I didn't say anything.
That could be a Roe Beast.
it's a Roe Beast? I don't know what that means, to be honest with you. Roe Beast? It's purple, so I'm gonna go with
You're not gonna guess this, man.
No, I'm not.
You're not gonna guess it.
I'm gonna go with.
You're not gonna guess it.
Oh, is it Hagar's thing?
Does
Hagar, final guess?
I'll give him a half correct.
What? He doesn't. She's not in that.
She's not in it, but it's Enaltean.
Oh, neat.
Any Altean will do, except for the ones that we know.
Yeah.
Neat. And last one, who's in this mech?
Oh, wow.
What the hell is that? That's the, the portal thing. Is it technically, are you trying to trick question me? Because, is it
no, that one's
Zotor
easy.
Again?
That one's easy.
I don't know, man. Lotor?
I guess technically, but no, you're wrong. This is Hagar.
That's Hagar? Hey, man, everything's purple.
I thought you were showing him when they combined.
Nah.
So technically, it'd be two.
This was the singular.
Gotcha.
And then it was...
So,
that
Joe,
was still fun.
While you carried Garful, Warful, Snick...
Let's go.
Unfortunately, you could not bring it home. And therefore, we have no winners for today's episode of Garful, Warful, Snick. Thank you all for joining us. We will see you next Quiznack.
It's been an honor, Steve.
Next Quiznack.
Is Quiznack even a time thing?
You're not even...
Decathieve.
You're not using that correctly.
That's the word I was looking for.
You're not even using that correctly.
Hey, you seem like a guy who single modulates.
Whoa.
I'm so glad you threw another quote at me. I'm so glad.
Careful now.
So why are you homophobic to the show?
This show is homophobic. Remember in see okay, when what episode is Adam in?
What?
What episode is Adam in? Season 7,
season...
episode 3, right?
Okay, sure.
Or one of those. Remember when they tweeted out, we will finally show off Adam, Shiro's romantic partner,
uh-huh.
in season 7, episode 3 of Voltron.
Sure.
Portraying it as, this is going to be a major character who's going to recur, like Pidge's family. Pidge's brother and dad. They're in a few episodes at least. Oh. This is someone very important to Shiro, and he's going to be a major player. Shiro's love interest, a gay man, a gay relationship. We're going to see it on screen. It's going to be awesome. The amount of time I've said this sentence is like three times as much screen time as Adam gets.
Yeah, I don't know where you got all that from.
What?
It's a flashback. It's remembering Adam, who died, who Shiro had a relationship with in the past.
Okay.
Why would they tweet about it?
If you're not,
why tweet about it and be like, oh, we're like, do they give, have they given updates on anyone else's characters kind of thing? Because then you do have to question, why are they specifically tweeting about this?
Look at us, we are the gay couple. 15 seconds of screen time.
Oh, I'm sure that is why. But I don't think that makes the show homophobic.
I would say
homophobic.
Because the gay person is dead?
Because the gay person, there was not enough screen time for the gay person to go, oh, we are so representative. We are so good at this. And I think Cleith, or Lance Keith, they definitely queerbaited us with that.
Clance,
there we go.
I think that's just a fan-made thing.
Well, then why did Voltron release shirts and tweet and made, like, actual comments about Cleith? Clance.
Cleith does not sound good, man.
Cleith sounds like a slur.
They definitely capitalized on, this would be a great, enemies to friends to lovers thing, without actually dedicating to it. I wouldn't say this show is homophobic. You were saying I was homophobic.
You literally said homophobic.
And then I said I clapped back. I recognize now that that's an exaggeration, but to say it is gay inclusive, it's not.
Okay.
It's really, really not.
I would say the queer baiting would definitely be true, only because of, have I seen the show? No, but judging from what you said about there being tweets about, like, from the company being like, we're gonna see this, that would be, like, if they're in a flashback, like, that's whatever. That's normal. I get that. That's, like, a normal thing. But having tweets that are like, we're going to see it. Why mention it? If it's so normalized, why point it out?
And only for what? 15 seconds. Mm-hmm. And there's not even a scene. Like, that 15 seconds, they're just talking. You could have that scene out of context. Adam and Shiro are just bros.
Okay.
That would have been fine. You know, that would have worked. But in the context of, we're finally going to see Shiro's partner. We're finally going to see him. Get ready to meet him in episode 3, season 7. And then he's there for 15 seconds, and then he dies. And there's not even an emotional scene where Shiro gets told he's dead.
He looks at the monument where his name is, the plaque, the memorial.
Does he cry?
He looks there somberly. I'm not sure if he cries or not, but still.
He's very sad.
He's very sad.
Do you have to cry?
I think it could have been a lot better. I understand that the writers and probably the showrunners wanted it to be more inclusive.
Sure.
But I think it was the executive sort of, you know, messing with.
Oh, maybe.
With that took away, because that took away from Korsami back in them days.
Sure, yeah.
And, yeah.
I see where you're coming from. I get that. And the Clance thing, that's just fan-made. It's just, you know, that's a bromance,
I think the show sort of definitely plays into it.
I think.
Well, I mean, if you have fans that support it, the show would play, or like whoever owns the show would play into it to appease fans. You know what I mean? Like, if you have fans who are gonna ship two characters together,
like Zuko and Katara.
Like, the show's gonna, even if they don't put it in the story, they're still gonna try to market it in some way because they want to keep people engaged.
Like they did.
They're
with
not
Avatar.
Gonna. It would be worse if they shut them down.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We live in a capitalist society. So, like, I understand them wanting to kind of profit off of it. Though it may be wrong, I understand them wanting to profit off of it.
I just think what they did, you know, honestly, great show. I hate to say that the show was bad. I'm just pointing out the bad things that it does.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what they try to do is have their cake and eat it too.
Mm-hmm.
Which isn't good representation. Honestly, I think they could have tried. I think they tried, but they could have done it a lot better.
So you're saying gay representation is lackluster? How about one of the main fucking characters, Shiro, is literally gay and he's in the entire fucking show? What are you talking about?
They don't show him being gay at all.
Oh, so do you want him to be like, let's form Voltron? Yes! Or do you want it to
like
be a sincere character? To be just happens to be gay, but also is this amazing leader?
We don't know he's gay for, what, 7 out of 8 seasons?
Does it have to be and shown?
Even, yes, if you want to claim this show represents this community, you have to show them being a member of that community rather than just a 30-second, probably, it was ambiguous. If you watch the clip, you can just go, oh, they were probably very close friends. It's 30 seconds and that's it. You cannot claim to have good representation by just putting in, it's like...
But J.K. Rowling is an amazing...
J.K. Rowling does this all the time. She's
I
like,
see
Dumbledore
both sides
gay.
Of the argument because it's a gray area because you don't want to be too in your face where people think you're queer baiting, but also at the same time, you don't want to make it their whole character, so then it's like, oh, their whole character is that they're gay. Yeah. You have to find a balance. Do I think it was enough? No. Do I think it should have been thrown in their faces? Also no. It's about finding that balance, and the writers didn't find that balance.
But what if the showrunners tweet, today we're
that
finally going to meet Shiro's gay lover, what's his name, Adam, and then the episode comes out 30 seconds and he's dead.
That was a little bit trifling.
That's look, quite trifling.
Looking at it in hindsight, right? Now, since the entire show is out, we know that he's gay the entire time. He's always been gay. And to just discount that as like, oh no, he only turned gay in season 6 or whatever the hell. You know? No. He's been gay the entire time, and he's been an amazing character that we fell in love with. That's good representation.
No, it's not.
How is it not? A gay character is an amazing, well-written, well-rounded character throughout the entire show.
Because
just
he
so
was not
to be
gay from the beginning
he,
of the show.
Yes, he was!
No!
What are you talking about?
Did they write it? Okay, season 1, episode 1, Shiro is a gay man.
Do you have to do that?
Yes.
Why?
If you want to promote yourself as so inclusive, you could have him go through the journey of, this is actually who I am, I might actually be a queer man, and that would be much better than what they did, was like, oh, fucking, you like this character? They're gay now.
He just so happened to be gay.
He wasn't gay, though.
Yes, he is!
He wasn't until they decided, we want to be more inclusive, why not write, okay, we don't want to spend the effort to write a good and complex, let's just take one of our fan favorites and just be like, f***ing, he's gay now.
What, after that Adam episode, what did you want? You want him to talk more feminine or something? You want
him
to wear something
him
more?
I would prefer that Adam episode to not exist and him just be an aspect of his character.
Sure.
Just... don't go out like, we're finally gonna meet him. Let's see where this goes. He's dead after 30 seconds on screen.
It's
your
Shiro
only
lore.
Problem
it's a flashback.
Is basically the tweet.
Yeah.
My problem is that and also promoting this show as great for gay representation. I'm sure the showrunners are very progressive, probably liberals because they're writers and stuff. And some of their families may go through gay struggles. And that's fine, but to promote this show as a safe space for gay people when the contents of the show itself do not reflect that at all.
How is it not just because someone close to somebody dies?
If
you're, I understand like, what you're saying, because it's not like it wouldn't be one of the main themes of the show. Like the show has nothing to do with the fact that he just happens to be. So it's not amazing for gay representation in that way. Is it like a very subtle underlying theme? Yes, it technically is, but it's not a main plot point or a main theme, so it shouldn't be marketed as something that's gay representation.
How about
so
this?
I understand that.
Since Voltron takes place in the future because World War III happened, right? Everything in Voltron's in the future, right?
Word.
Hey, you're going the liberal future approach.
It would appear that there are less challenges for the LGBTQ community that is being faced within this new world in the future. You know what I mean? Because Leif's daughter, one of the pilots in the later seasons in Earth, she's clearly a lesbian. You know, she's LGBTQ, and do they have to be like, hey, Leif's daughter, check out that girl. Isn't she cute? And she's like, yes.
There's like, a lot better and more subtle ways to show that a character is gay.
Oh, sure, but like, that's if you want to like have it in your face. Like, Shira, yeah, that's a great example. That's a very good, like, hey, we're gay, we don't care, let's fucking do this, you're welcome.
Seasons 1 through 7.
Okay.
Did the rest of the paladins know that Shiro was gay?
I would assume Keith will know because he's known Shiro for a long time. Yeah, he knew about Adam in the flashbacks. Yeah, Keith has always known.
nobody in the show know because it wasn't written yet.
Flashbacks. That's why there's flashbacks. It's that's so, why oh, that okay. entire Adam so scene is a flashback.
You're just rectifying a retcon.
I guess. I don't know. What do you mean?
Because Shiro's sexuality up until season 8, episode 4, because I think that's what it is completely ambiguous.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know anything about it. He's not presented as gay at all.
Okay.
You can argue that it doesn't matter. It's a show targeted for mostly children.
Yeah.
And I you could even just not have an answer at all, whether he's straight or gay. But then they choose to promote him and the show as LGBTQ plus, like, representative.
Uh-huh.
And they went about it in probably the worst way.
Okay.
By just making a fan favorite character happen to be gay now. What without about, showing, without doing the work and showing him be gay and be in love with another man. You know what that happens in that 30 scenes? They're arguing. They're arguing, and you could just walk away from it going, oh, they were really close friends. It sucks that he's dead. You only know that based off of the context around that show, mm-hmm. based on like what the people have been tweeting, what the fans' like feedback have been.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't know that he's gay without that show. To just... I think Voltron's a great show. That last season was kind of... But to parade it around like a safe haven for the gay community when it actually...
It's not against it.
It doesn't have to be against it. It's not homophobic show at all. But to say that this show is... If you are a gay youth, you will see yourself in the show. And sure, you may. You may see yourself in Keith, you know, Lance and all them. But that won't be the aspect you see in the characters because the show doesn't show the characters being gay.
Mm-hmm. What about Pidge?
What about Pidge? Pidge is... I love Pidge.
Yeah? Okay.
She doesn't move on.
Yeah, she doesn't move on. Exactly my point. And later, towards the... In the finale, we see her grow up, right? She's not as feminine or whatever. Could you argue that she's a bi or a lesbian just based on how she dresses or something?
I guess you could, but you shouldn't because that's shitty.
Because that's assuming?
That's making assumptions.
Yeah, but you could but somebody who looks like Pidge that also happens to be bi or gay or whatever can project and be like, oh, just like me.
They can relate to that character, sure, while also recognizing that this is an aspect of me, mm-hmm. while also not necessarily being an aspect of that other character.
But it could be possible.
Sure, it could be possible. They could insert themselves in the role of that character, which is, I think, a strength of the show to just leave it all ambiguous.
Uh-huh.
You could think Shiro is gay without mm-hmm. the tweets or without that episode, and I think you'd have better representation. Mm-hmm. But what they did was like, f***ing, he's gay now.
He did get married.
They're gonna get... You're gonna see so much. You're gonna see him be gay, and
is that what the tweet said?
It's basically what it said.
Basically, or what did it say?
It said we're finally gonna meet Shiro's lover, Adam.
Okay.
In this episode,
and we did. We met him.
Seconds.
We met him.
We met him. You did meet him. I guess you're right. I guess you're right.
He remarried, or I don't know if they were married, but he got married at the end.
And guess what? How long is that sequence as well?
It's a Breakfast Club sequence, man. Come on.
How long is it?
I don't know, 5 seconds.
A few frames?
Still, but like, again, there's just the same argument.
They're not doing the work. I mean, I'm not going to hate on you for loving Voltron, but that point you made was still bad.
What?
That this show is super inclusive of
gay. I never said it was super inclusive. I'm just saying it's not like... It is still a safe place for LGBTQ.
By that split, by that metric, it's a safe place for everyone.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Then I don't know why you would... I guess it's not outwardly homophobic. If that's your point, then sure.
My thing is, the only reason why I brought it up is because... I felt like you were overlooking Shiro, who was there the entire show, as also a gay character.
He wasn't gay for the entire show, though.
You're not a show writer. He could have been.
The show writers didn't know that didn't until they character. Decided. But I'm a viewer, and I watched everything he did. They can say whatever they want, but that doesn't change the content of the show itself. J.K. Rowling does this all the time. She was like, oh, Dumbledore was gay.
Okay, she's literally anti-Semitic, though. I feel like we can't bring her into this.
Well, I'm just saying it's a cheap writing trick. Other people probably do it as well.
Uh-huh.
But she's just the most glaring example. She was like, oh, Dumbledore is gay. Is there any passage that alludes to it? Sure, if you look at this one, this paragraph out of context. And then she went on to say, like, Hermione was black.
But isn't that just assuming that somebody is a gay or not, or straight or whatever? You can assume the entire series Kira was gay or was straight.
In the Hermione example, it wasn't part of her characterization.
Oh, that's I'm still talking about Kira. I'm sorry.
Okay, well, I guess any reader could read Harry Potter and be like, whatever character they like the best looks like.
Imagining whatever you want. That's a book. Yeah.
And then making a hard canon. This character is black. We're inclusive. We've been inclusive this entire time. Which is lame.
Okay.
That's my argument.
Okay. I see your point.
I still think.
What you just said made your point very clear.
I did some surface level internet diving because I had no idea what this whole conversation was about. I felt like I had to dive in and be informed. I couldn't find anything on the tweet. I found someone tweeting that the showrunner had said, I think on a panel, but I'm not sure on that, that there would be this like whole Adam Shiro thing. But that was the only thing I really found. A lot of people mentioning that the show, the people on the show said that this was going to be a thing, but they never mentioned this. the level of how much this ship was going to be a thing.
Okay. If it's just now saying, hey, by the way, Shiro had a boyfriend.
Okay. Yeah, that's essentially what I'm finding, but that could be because they've rewritten the PR since then.
Sure.
And, dive through, but I don't know. But I think if we're going to label show's biggest sins, to put that at the biggest, I think completely disregards all of season 8.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's bad.
But. Season 8 is... like
doesn't give the characters any good endings.
Action scenes are half-assed. Action scenes are so half-assed. No. Where the final fight is between Inerva's mech and Voltron, and it's just Voltron getting beat.
Hold on.
Voltron getting beat.
One thing
Voltron
we haven't seen
before that. Before that, when they fused with the Atlas, admit it's kind of cool. But they didn't need to do that.
They didn't need to do that.
If they're going to fuse it with a ship, why not the Castle of Lions? I would much rather see that because the Castle of Lions is a big, significant part of Voltron as the character.
Why the Atlas? The Atlas having a transformation was already, to me, like...
It's a bit much. It's pushing it.
You're pushing it a little.
Pushing it so much.
But I allowed it.
It's just a Transformer.
Oh, wow.
It is Voltron. It's a kid's show. They're trying to sell toys.
They don't even make the toy! That's one of my problems! Oh. I'm so sorry.
The girls are fighting.
But to me, it was in that in that last episode where every fight was so boring. It would just be like, I'm going to fly towards Inerva. Inerva slaps them away. I'm going to fly towards Inerva. Inerva slaps them away. Yeah. I'm going to fly towards Inerva. I'm going to kill you. Oh.
Yeah.
And then it's like every single thing. It's just Inerva seems impossible to beat. Oh, well, they got to find something to like
they gotta
level
upscale.
Upscale somehow to be able to beat her.
The killer of realities.
So they transform Voltron into Atlas to make this giant mech that's able to go through the reality thing, whatever. And then it just gets beat again, and you're like, ah, so they're gonna need to come up with something different. They fight her again, but in a different playing field. And you're like, oh, maybe it's gonna be different. She just gets beat again. The fight's like 15 seconds at most, and each of these just gets beat. And then the last fight, the one that shows that they're able to beat her, is Inerva destroying everything.
Every reality, except one.
Except one. Them grabbing her and flying faster. And away.
Yeah. Into the collective consciousness of the universe.
But that's the final fight. This show that's like built on these great mech action fighting scenes. And this is the show by Voltron getting big old thrusters and flying forward in a linear line, dude. If you're animating this, it's like you highlighted Voltron and then just dragged it to the left, dude. I was so mad.
I wasn't upset with it. I don't love it. I'm cool with it. I wish it was a cooler fight because that's what... At the core, at Voltron, in the original show, it's about giant robots fighting.
But that entire season finale, there was no good fights.
There were cool moments, like the whole Balmira, Karan, like using all their energy. That's cool.
There are cool moments.
Yeah.
But those take up all of the animation budget to where the show, in my opinion, has a lot to show in these action sequences, just kind of gets put to the side. Yeah. Like, there's one moment where it's like this big old buildup moment of like Voltron charging towards Inerva for this last, like, they have to interrupt her thing before it's too late.
Yeah.
And then it just flashes white and then like dissolves out of white and Voltron got beat. Like, it's they just dip to white as that fight, and it's just constantly throughout that entire 3-episode thing. There was no actual fight in the entire finale, dude.
I get it. I mean, they went with a more emotional way to beat an enemy. You know, Alora saw the good in Nerva's heart, and
I have to sacrifice myself now. Yeah, you guys.
which that I don't mind. I've watched this show. No joke, at least a dozen and a half times. In general, especially within the last couple of months, because of how many times you have to push back this episode. But every single time I get to the ending, when Alora is saying goodbye to everyone, I still tear up. So that says something for me. There's, because, you know, Alora is the heart of
it's
Voltron.
It's a nice moment.
It's a great
she
moment.
She should have gotten
it's
a happier
sacrifice.
Ending, because she was the character that growed and changed the most throughout the series.
Voltron should have been able to actually do something.
Yeah.
Alora maybe lives. Maybe kill Lance. I'm fine if you kill Lance. Lance is pretty sacrificial.
Yeah,
like, if they're gonna kill anybody, it's gonna be Shiro, because that Sven died
in
the show.
Kill Shiro. I'm fine with
that.
Come
on, you did. Kill Shiro.
He technically did. In season one, the end of season one, he died.
Yeah. Kill Shiro.
Who hasn't died at this point?
That's true.
And walk it off.
That's true.
But like, I don't know. I just find it. I just find the entire finale to just be like that moment. Gold. I agree. It's like a nice little moment, but. It's also like the way Enerva is like restored to like her goodness is by Alora just putting her hands on her forehead and doing some magic of showing her memories of her past life. Enerva's been seeing memories of her past life. That's why she is the way she is when she turns evil, and suddenly like different memories just make her better. It's everything just feels like you were saying, the moments of the show kind of feel like they didn't really have a plan. This entire finale feels like they didn't have a plan at any moment. They're like, Voltron got... So we'll make it so that Voltron gets beat here because we need more time. What do we need to do? We'll summon a bunch of Balmeras. And it's, we need to make sure Voltron gets beat here. What do we do? Have Keith give a great speech. And then we'll have him get beat here. But then we'll have Shiro give a great speech. And as they're pulling every single trick they've pulled in the entire show to just make this finale last.
And I think they knew that this reception for the last season wouldn't be that good. If you dig deep, you realize that they didn't really market this as the last season. Or season 8 at all. And that season came out 2 weeks before another flagship Netflix show, Trollhunters.
Oh,
which
yeah.
I don't know what
great
that
show.
Is. Yeah,
great show.
Right? So if you really had confidence, you would have a little bit more space in between. Just saying.
I think it was like a budget fall off where they're just like, the show's great, but it's not doing as good. You get like half the money.
Yeah.
I do love the scaling in terms of threats and the level of Voltron, because a key part of the original show is all the different upgrades and powers that get shown off in every episode. You know, every episode, a new power. That's one difference that is major is in the original show, all the paladins have access to every single power Voltron has. All the arsenals unlocked just because you use a key. That's how they turn on Voltron, right? They use a key. Oh my god. But here in Legendary Defender, I love that they have to earn each new power-up, each new unlock ability for each individual alliance, their own Bayards, and Voltron proper.
Oh, it's a...
I love the scaling.
In one of the wikis, they like label every ability that each mech has. Voltron, I forget the name of the ability, but Voltron has the ability to just get what it wants. Literally, they had that in the wiki, where if there is a situation where Voltron needs a weapon, it is allowed to have that weapon.
Yeah.
It's like the Superman thing.
Magic.
How strong is Superman? Enough.
Exactly. So Voltron does have heavy plot armor.
Yeah,
Voltron gets all of its quintessence sapped. Well, actually, there's so much quintessence that it hurt the other guy. Voltron gets his quintessence sap, but not like to an extreme degree. Well, it can just get more quintessence and we're good to keep going.
From the pilots. That's how they, you know, direct that. You gotta think about it. No, you don't gotta think about it.
No,
just
there's no
turn
thinking.
Your brain off, just let it happen.
Voltron
wins.
Just let it happen, you know?
It's an
just,
anime
just
about
do
robot
it.
Lions.
One of the games I was thinking about making originally was to give you all a various like scenarios in where you're on the back foot of like some like a moment like, oh, yeah, you're on a planet and all the Galra are beginning to invade on your position. You're
weapons.
Here, you're there, you're there. And literally the answer to every single one was going to be Form Voltron.
Yeah, that's all it takes. But like I was saying, I love the scaling where, you know, first is Voltron, defender of the universe, defender of all universes, defender of realities. Like, how much more can you get? Defender of time or something? But I'm glad it stopped somewhere. And the ending of the show, I thought was beautiful. Like, seeing the cuts, you know, like
the Animal
Lance,
House ending.
Yeah, I like that.
Lance
I like
was
seeing...
always depressed because he had a girlfriend for one season.
I like seeing that there's an actual ending to these characters, that they actually move on and you get to see, you know, an aftermath of everything that happens. Not only the year later part where they gather in the anniversary of whatever happened to honor Alora and all that stuff, but even, you know, towards the end, I don't know if anybody else caught this, but whenever Pidge was on screen and showing her like on Earth or whatever,
building that robot,
building Vehicle Force Voltron. I hate Vehicle Force Voltron. It's so dumb. I hate how it looks. I hate that it's 15 vehicles combining into a Voltron, but it's cool to see that Pidge is building it. I think that's like a cool reference. But yeah,
talking about the similarities to Avatar with Lance's whole thing. When I was scrolling through the Reddit, there was so many memes of just like, yeah, my girlfriend turned into the universe.
That's rough, buddy.
That's rough, buddy. The response, it's the frame from Zuko when he says it to Sokka. Oh my gosh. My girlfriend turned into the universe.
Oh, that's great. What I was... My little outburst earlier about the toys. Yeah, these toys are great, but...
They take the show's design.
My biggest problem with these toys is they come with their own special, like, weapons, right? I didn't bring all the accessories because that's a lot, but they have their own accessories like they do in the show, right? And when you collect them all...
Oh, now we're playing.
You eventually get, like, the sword, right?
Whoa!
Oh.
But my problem is, as this is all based on season 1 and 2 or whatever, right? But as the show went on, they kept getting more and more powers. Voltron get, you know, other equipment, other lasers, other, you know, shoulder cannons, dual swords. I wish that DreamWorks or, you know, whoever made these toys, Hasbro or whatever, kept up with that. Updated, released, like, you know, upgrade kits or whatever.
It would have been free money because you would have bought it.
I definitely would have bought it.
It's weird that they didn't do that. That's kind of bizarre.
And I think, you know, in terms of quality, these could have been better. I mean, he can't even turn his head, the black line. Like, can't do it sideways.
He's the leader. No. He doesn't need to turn his head.
But, yeah. I'm glad that you guys still like the show overall, even with your points and other opinions. That's great. I'm glad you guys have them. I'm glad you've watched enough and care about it enough to even form those opinions. I mean, you could have just easily just blown through it and been like, hey, you know, it's a TV show.
It's a show.
Well, you said earlier, Tatum, I'm glad that you're willing to give the rest of the show a try while keeping everything what we said in mind.
A fun game for when you rewatch it is try to find the common voice actors between this show and Avatar The Last Airbender.
I can hear them.
Yeah.
Like, because I relied on hearing it a lot, and then, like, when I would stop and watch it, I would, like, look at it, but I was listening to it mainly. Lance is one of them, right?
He's Finn from Adventure Time.
That's what I thought. I heard him say something, and I was like, that, yep, there it is.
You can tell just from the laugh.
Literally.
Yeah. Yep.
For me, it was like, I think at one point he was like, ah! And I was like, oh, there it is.
Another great game, if you're of drinking age, a shot for every time Yellow Line crashes.
Oh, sure. Or how many times Voltron is said.
Or is formed.
Oh, no.
It's like that gif of like the guy falling down the stairs with the bottle.
Well, to bring this to a close, we had fun. We have fun in these things, right?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. I'm glad we finally got to talk about Voltron, you know, not only on a personal level, but you know, this was a really fun episode. And yeah. Anybody else have anything to say?
It's been razzle dazzle time.
It has. You're so real for that.
All right, that's all the time we have for today, guys. Thank you so much for joining us on another episode here on Razzle Dazzle. Make sure to let us know what you think of today's episode somewhere on the internet. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at Razzle Dazzle Show and on TikTok at Razzle_Dazzle_Show. Be sure to tune in every Thursday on the Live 365 app Eagle Radio Station from 12 to 1, where we are live, and we'll catch you on the finale.